The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield.
You're listening to The Talk, talk radio for the masses, here on WTBR-FM 89.7. And now, let's talk.
It's
Wednesday, and you know what that means.
Time for The Talk.
Time for The Talk.
And time for wrestling?
Well, Wednesday.
Wrestling later, but...
Well, Wednesday night, yeah. All right, so our continuing story from last week... About faux pas and plot holes.
Yeah.
And things that should have been fixed.
I don't want to share in the microphone.
These things that should have been fixed in the Star Wars series, so we're continuing with that. Let's start by going all the way back to 1977.
Okay.
The Death Star blew up.
Well, yeah.
Darth Vader loses control of his...
TIE Fighter. Where?
Then he takes off into the unknown. Where does he go?
That is my good question.
George Lucas never told
too.
Us where he went.
Exactly.
He just shows up on the Empire Strikes Back on another Star Destroyer. It's a short-range fighter. Mm. How far could he have gone?
Yeah,
he couldn't have gone to Exegol. That's too far for a short-range fighter.
Very too far.
It's not like... What's-his-face's fighter...
Kylo Ren.
Kylo's who's got hyperdrive on that thing.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, we found out Kylo Ren's TIE Fighter has hyperdrive.
The silencer and the whisper and the silencer for Last Jedi, the whisper for Rise of Skywalker. Yes, he had.
So where did Darth?
And there were prototypes. There weren't even. They weren't even considered real shit. They were just prototypes that he came up with.
And where did Darth Vader go?
That's what I want to know.
He just shows.
Was he too far?
10-1 is probably one of the ships that was a little bit closer. It was there, but it was like.
Or maybe he called in for a Star Destroyer to come pick him up.
Maybe.
Now here's the other thing.
Mustafa, maybe.
I don't think he could have made it to Mustafa. Here. It's a short range fighter.
Yeah, that's. True. I mean, it's a short-range fighter, and you have to be within range of a Star Destroyer.
So
right?
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
In Return of the Jedi,
yeah.
The second Death Star blows up over Endor.
Yes.
Why do we see it on a whole nother planet on Rise of Skywalker?
Well, in their defense, it was in the Endor system.
Yeah,
where they ended up, where it supposedly was that it broke up and scattered over the moons of Endor, not just that one moon of Endor. So that's what I was thinking of.
But if you watch at the end of Return,
yeah,
when they blow it up,
yeah,
it's. Poof, it's dust.
Yeah.
Why is there a whole half of it sitting in an ocean somewhere that people can climb onto?
And also a noticeable noticeable chunk of it too.
Yeah, it's
I
like,
mean there's
it's
another
like,
chunk. I mean,
it's like half the Death Star just kind of dropped into the water, but if you watch
That means the first Death Star is floating somewhere.
If you watch the end of Return,
it supposedly blew the entire thing.
It blew up like the first Death Star did and totally disintegrated.
Yeah. So
they had. I think the reason is just they just needed something for the story, so they did it the way it was.
Thank you.
That's my thought.
But that
leaves
a big plot hole.
Thank you. Both sides, yes.
Yeah, but not everybody goes ahead and goes into the movie like you do and sits there and analyzes everything.
Wait, call bull spit on that one.
Wait, in my defense, this is stuff has been argued on social media.
Thank you.
Forever.
Thank you.
I'm just bringing up things that people have already argued about over social media.
I'm sorry. I'm just one of those old people who happen to sit there and like, oh, okay, that's how it was. And I don't argue with the writers.
Well, I mean, if you're doing a saga, continuity is a big thing.
I know.
Just like
you can't have the second Death Star blow up into little tiny particles.
Look, I was never happy with the fact that Ben got killed off anyway.
We'll get to that. Like you see on screen on the Return of the Jedi, and then you come back to Rise of Skywalker, and 3/4 of the Death Star is in water.
Thank you.
Skywalker.
So, yeah, another thing we brought up at home is Daisy Ridley and John Boyega are both English.
Thank you.
Daisy Ridley got to keep her accent through the whole prequels. John Boyega had to use an American accent. Why?
Yes.
Why let Daisy Ridley keep her English accent and John Boyega had to change his?
Somebody asked.
I think maybe his was a little more rough. Sorry, Jess. I think maybe his might have been a little rougher than
Daisy Ridley's.
Somebody had asked him, and according to him, J.J. Abrams didn't like the way his accent sounded. It sounded too deep and not believable for Ben. So he said, okay, went in and switched it up to what is called an American accent for British and Australian actors, and they preferred him speaking like an American because it sounded better.
So why not have Daisy Ridley speak like an American?
They liked the way she sounded. I'm dead serious. They liked her accent and the way she sounded. Dead serious. But for John, Because his was a little bit deeper, a little bit rougher, because he's Nigerian British, so it's a little bit deeper and rougher. They went ahead and they told him, no, it's a no-go, you have to go ahead and change it up.
Okay, so what about Ian McGregor?
Thank you.
We'll let him keep his. Alec Guinness got to keep his.
Thank you.
Alec Guinness couldn't get any rougher with his accent.
Exactly. I don't get it.
So the only one we change is John Boyega.
Yeah.
Alec Guinness is British. Ian McGregor is Australian.
Count Dooku. No, Ian McGregor is Scottish.
Very Scottish.
You got it in stereo. Count Dooku, English. He got to keep his. Shiva Palpatine, English.
Yeah.
Got to keep his.
And then to sidetrack off that, Count Dooku, what is that guy's name?
Christopher Lee.
Yeah, Christopher Lee.
My God.
I'm sorry. I'm
he's parked there for a minute.
Christopher Lee did the Dracula films.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
In that same accent.
Exactly.
And his accent's a lot rougher than John Boyega's.
Thank you.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Go argue with the director or the and see what his. No, run it by
I'd like to get J.J. Abrams in here. Get him on the phone. What were you thinking?
Also, another thing that is pretty weird. Daisy Ridley had to audition. John Boyega had to audition. Oscar Isaac had to audition. Adam Driver Not even an audition. Because Kathleen Kennedy went ahead and saw him on Girls and went ahead and said, sure, we'll go ahead. We'll go ahead and have him as Kylo Ren.
You know what we've been...
You know what it was? You know what would have been worse?
Huh?
If they had Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill audition.
Yeah, I know.
Wait. I have to, Mark Hamill goes in, I have to audition. I've only played Luke Skywalker forever.
Seriously.
You still have to audition, sir.
We still have to audition, sir. I'm sorry.
We're not your mind. That's, you know. But like Weird Al said in the song, he'll be playing that song to the end.
He'll be playing his part to the end until he's old and gray.
Yeah.
And he did.
He's old and gray.
He's still playing it.
Yes, he is. And, you want to let everyone know that you have your new little friend and what his name is?
Yeah, we got a new parakeet. His name is Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Just to tie into the Star Wars stuff.
Yes, he's cute.
Yes. He's doing really cute.
Little yellow and green baby. He's absolutely adorable.
So what else do we want to rip into?
I'm thinking. Oh! Here we go. How about this? Luke's X-Wing. This thing is submerged in water for what? Over 10 years? Comes out working like new. Not waterlogged, not nothing. But it was submerged in water.
Right, and you drop your phone in the toilet and it doesn't work after 5 minutes.
Seriously! That must have been some excellent Jedi powers to go ahead and dry out those electronics out.
And the other side of that is that's the X-Wing from the first three films, which means that X-Wing's like 40 years old.
Exactly!
And the thing about it is...
Look what seawater is doing to the Titanic, but seawater's not messing with the X-Wing.
Exactly!
But think about it, though. The most funniest part about it, he couldn't bring the darn thing up when Yoda asked him to. And then Yoda turned around and jokes with him and makes a laugh about it that now he can do it. Yoda teases him about it in the movie.
Where's Yoda teasing him about?
No, we go ahead. No, Dad goes and teases him.
I tease him about Yoda doesn't say anything. Yoda's not even in that scene.
No, correction, Yoda made.
Yoda, what you're talking about is the Jedi Texas and the tree.
Yes.
The girl Rey knows more.
The girl Rey has more knowledge than those books possess.
Read them, you have. Page-turner,
saying or not. Thank you.
The girl Rey has more knowledge than those books.
Yeah, think about that for a moment.
But how does Rey have all that knowledge? Wasn't from Luke.
Thank you.
There's another plot hole.
Three lessons.
Yoda puts the plot hole in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Another one. Three lessons and automatically to know everything about how to be a Jedi.
I've been watching the movies for 50 years. I still don't know everything about being a Jedi.
Thank you.
Neither do I.
I got to read the Jedi text.
I mean, seriously, how? That's what I want to know. How much does she know?
Let's talk about how technology has changed.
Okay.
Since the first film.
Okay.
Right? The first film, Star Wars: A New Hope, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Yeah.
The lightsabers.
Ow.
To get the colors on the lightsabers, they had to scratch the film off.
Yeah.
Frame by frame. And color them in with magic marker.
Yes.
Now they do it on a computer.
No. No, well, halfway, yeah. They actually go ahead and have 3D printed lightsaber. And it has a tube like this, and it has LEDs inside of it. So it's about half and half.
Can you imagine being the guy editing the film in 1977?
Hey. Now that would be something interesting for next week.
What?
Bring your sword.
Bring my lightsaber.
Cute.
Yeah, the only problem is that's hard to reproduce on radio.
Yeah, seriously.
That's great for PCTV people. That's great for PCTV.
Well, I meant for the sound. I mean, you know, radio sound.
Oh, that it goes.
We'll try that. We'll bring a lightsaber in next week and see how that works on radio.
On the radio, yeah.
But yeah, as you were saying,
it's just what my small brain is thinking. You know,
when David Prowse and Alec Guinness had the lightsaber fight in The New Hope.
Yeah.
They had sticks.
Yeah, they did.
And Lucas told him not to hit him so hard. And they hit him hard. You can see the dust fly off. And if you watch real carefully, even on the latest updates to the first three films, but if you watch A New Hope and you watch real carefully the lightsaber fight that Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi have, you can see the dust coming off the lightsabers.
I also have a little...
And here's another thing. Here is another thing.
Hmm. Okay. That's bugging you?
That grinds my gears. Obi-Wan hands Luke the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
How does he know how to turn it on?
Thank you.
He's never held a lightsaber.
Never held a lightsaber.
I mean,
doesn't
when I got my
it
lightsaber, it took me 10 minutes to figure out how to turn it on. And he, whoosh, there you go. And it's the same way with
Finn.
With Finn. How did he know how to turn the lightsaber on? Or Rey, for that matter.
Thank you.
How do these people know how to turn these lightsabers on? It's not like you have a little switch that says on, off, on, off, on, off.
No.
I would have thought that Finn knew about it because of the fact that he was a stormtrooper.
Oh,
and had
because
seen,
he was around
and
Kylo.
Right, had seen Kylo do it. That would explain that.
Okay.
That would explain
that would explain
situation.
Finn.
We'll give you that.
Okay, that would explain
we'll give
Finn.
You that. What about Luke?
Luke,
in A New Hope.
Luke, not so much.
Luke,
I mean,
not
yes,
so
from,
much.
He but, turns the lightsaber around but, like this, so the part with the but, saber points pointing at his face.
Yeah, seriously.
But I think the reason why Rey knew about it more deep so is because it was Palpatine blood.
Uh-huh.
And
so let's go with that. How did she know how to fly the Falcon? She didn't even know it was the Falcon. Until Han Solo told her it was.
Exactly.
How does she know how to get in there, fly the Falcon, and fly it well?
Yes, because Finn sits there and asks her, what about that? That thing's garbage.
Boom, the garbage will do.
The garbage will do.
And if you remember Force Awakens, Han Solo comes in and goes, I forgot who it was.
Poe.
You tell Paul or whatever it is that I just stole the Millennium Falcon back. This is the Millennium Falcon? You're Han Solo? So she had no clue that what she was on was the Millennium Falcon. So how'd she know how to fly it?
Thank you.
I don't know.
I can walk into a jet airplane, I'll bet you $5,000. I don't know how to sell it, how to fly it.
Exactly. Also,
I can't go to the airport and go, I just can jump in this plane and go fly it and never float before in my life. So how does Rey know how? She's a scavenger. How does she know how to fly the Falcon? She even know it was the Falcon.
She knows how to take them apart, so
but
maybe.
How does she know how to fly the Falcon?
That's true.
And she flew it well.
Yeah, she did.
That whole scene where she's getting rid of the
TIE fighters
and then the gun jams and she flies upside down. And
yes.
And Finn shoots the TIE fighters.
Thank
how
you.
Does she know how to fly that thing?
Thank you. That's
Han Solo can barely fly.
Big plot twist.
Han Solo can barely fly it. And Chewie wasn't around then.
Thank you. It's a very big plot twist.
So J.J. Abrams, how does
Rey automatically,
Rey
know, how
automatically
fly
know how to fly? I mean, fly the Millennium Falcon. It's not like Anakin who flew everything in the world.
It's a galaxy class. Freighter, come on now.
She's not like Anakin that flew everything. You know,
no.
Anakin can find anything and fly it.
Exactly.
We proved that in the first three films.
Not quite sure.
Rey jumps in the Millennium Falcon, doesn't know it's the Millennium Falcon, and she flies that thing like a trooper.
Yeah, thank you. Also, a little information that I find hilarious. During the prequel trilogy, they actually told... Liam Neeson, Ian McGregor, and Hayden Christensen do not make lightsaber noises while you're doing your fights. Because you can actually see it on your face when you go ahead and do it. So what does Hayden sit there and do? Ignores him and does it. There are a couple of scenes where if you see his face, you can actually go ahead and see him go ahead and do late super noises. Lip singing to late super noises. And they actually had to go ahead and howl.
Wait a minute. And how old was he when he did this?
23-ish, I think. It's 23, somewhere around that neighborhood.
Yeah. You know how children are.
No.
Here's another thing that popped
in. Happy with the...
At the end of Return of the Jedi,
mm-hmm.
we had the funeral pyre for Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
40 years later, the melted helmet is in Kylo Ren's quarters, and it's still smoking!
Thank you. Now let's get that thing brass. I don't know.
How is a plastic helmet still smoking after 40 years? Every time he talks to the helmet...
or he put his hand on it.
Or put his hand on it, it's smoking. It didn't stop smoking to the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, when he decided to smash it.
He didn't smash it.
He didn't smash it. Rey went ahead and hit it, and it fell and broke.
That's how Kylo knew Rey was in his quarters.
Yeah.
I know where she is.
But my question is, the funeral pyre was Return of the Jedi, 1982.
Yes.
We burned him up in the suit.
Really?
Rise of Skywalker is 2019, 2018, or whatever it is.
His 25-year-old grandson and
the helmet's still smoking.
And the helmet's still smoking. Ow! Sorry, I banged my ring. But, yeah, I want to know that, too. I mean, come on.
So, here's something a little off track. But, John Dykstra, I wanted to throw this in. John Dykstra was the special effects guy for ILM during the Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
4, 5, and 6. Yep. Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. He was also the special effects guy for 1978's Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
It's the same effects.
You can tell.
He got sued.
Yeah.
By George Lucas.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, because he took it where he wasn't supposed to go.
He took the special
effects.
Let's compare and contrast, shall we?
Yeah.
TIE Fighters.
Mm-hmm. Clone of Vipers.
No, TIE Fighters.
Cylon.
Cylon Fighters.
Yeah.
TIE Fighters wings like this. Cylon Fighters wings like this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
The Colonial Viper craft.
Was the X-Wing.
Looked like Y-Wings.
Y-Wings, that's right.
And Dykstra said this, when he built the scale model of the Battlestar Galactica that they used to shoot the series, it was made out of parts from Star Wars models.
Thank you.
So if you look carefully, you can see parts of the Millennium Falcon in there, and parts of TIE Fighters in there, and parts of Star Destroyers in there.
Star Destroyer, the Death Star in there, too. So, yeah.
And Dykstra ended up getting sued.
Yeah, I wonder why.
By George Lucas for taking the ILM special effects over to Battlestar Galactica.
Like nobody saw that coming.
Goodness, people.
They didn't see it coming for a while. It took, I think it was like half a season in. Three quarters of it, because they only had one season. Three quarters of a season in. And then Lucas realized the colors, the sounds from the dogfights, from the Viper craft. Even the explosions were all swiped literally right off of Star Wars.
Exactly. And if you look at the Cylon fighters, they're just chrome stormtroopers.
Yeah. Cylons are just chrome versions of the stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah, you wanted to go ahead and mention.
Oh, yeah, in the first film, we're just going all over the place.
No. It wasn't the first film. It was, first film.
Yeah, it was
one.
A New Hope.
No.
What are we talking about?
You had about the stormtrooper banging his head.
Yeah, that was in A New Hope.
Yeah, that was in A New Hope.
That's in the opening scene when they come through.
Yeah.
They come through that hallway, one of the stormtroopers bangs his head.
Yeah.
On top of the doorway.
Yeah. They had to go ahead and get...
Go ahead.
They had to get Jango to go ahead and to actually bang his head off of Slave One in order to go ahead for it to be a tie-in that it was something that he did as a mistake every time.
And if you go back, they only had... George Lucas can only afford 6 stormtrooper outfits.
Yeah.
So people are switching up. And if you see the scene where... The Emperor's walking through, and you see these 10,000 stormtroopers standing around. That was a matte painting. We go from matte paintings where somebody would actually have to paint this in back in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and they'd shoot it in the background, to shooting it on a green screen now, where you can just go into a computer and put in 10,000 stormtroopers on CGI.
Yeah.
Also on top.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Also, on top of that, you wanted to add how there was a couple, like, 3 mystery people that were actually stormtroopers in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, in Force Awakens, in reference to Queen Elizabeth. Yes.
Second one is what you're thinking of. Last Jedi is who you're thinking of.
No.
For that. Yes?
No, it was when Rey...
It was the Last Jedi.
Okay, when in Last Jedi, when they were about to get executed, Finn and...
Rose,
Kelly Tran. They had 2 stormtroopers that were holding the blades to their necks.
Yeah.
That was Prince William and Prince Henry.
Yes, it was.
They were in the Star Wars films.
Yes. And it was a guarded secret.
And there was Force Awakens, Daniel Craig.
Yes.
007. He was actually a stormtrooper. He was actually named 007.
JB 007.
It was Daniel Craig.
Yes, it was the stormtrooper that went ahead and yelled traitor to Finn and had the battle axe in his hand.
Yeah.
The
one if you watch Force Awakens and you see the one that yells traitor to Finn with the battle axe, that's James Bond, Daniel Craig.
Yes.
And if you go to Last Jedi, when they're on Starkiller Base, when they get caught, Finn and Rose, and the 2 stormtroopers that are holding the blades to their neck get ready to execute them, Prince Henry and Prince William.
Yes.
They wanted to be in the Star Wars films and made it. And you know what? It's been a quick half hour.
Really?
We got to go.
Oh.
Already. So we will see you next week on behalf of Carol, Darlene, Jesse, and myself. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into The Talk, and we will see you next week.
Bye, everybody.